Hallelujah. You got my iPad? Who's got that? Someone's got this thing. I found it. It was lost. Now it's found. Praise God. Don't you just love Jesus? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. You know, he's real. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that he, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the way a lot of Christians and people think is he was one way that during that time, he's a different way today. No, he's the same, the Bible says. He's the same Jesus who loves people, is merciful and kind. You know, the offering was a heavy message today, but times when people need their cages rattled to warn them because they're not helping themselves. But there is also another side to this story, is that if that was hitting you in the bullseye, in the heart today, and it was, you know, I am a gossiper. I do talk bad about people. I do run my mouth. My love walk is, it's not where it needs to be, and it's hurting my life. There's mercy. You just go to him and ask him to forgive you. He's not mad at you. He's not holding it against you. He's not going to make you suffer for that. You just go and say, Father, I'm so sorry. You know, I ask you to forgive me. He's merciful and he's loving. Not only is he that, which he was back then, but he's the God of healing, signs and wonders. He's a miracle work in Jesus. You know, we prayed for the sick last week as I was getting ready. The Lord told me, he said, there's going to be a healing anointing in the service. This was last week. And when he said that, I said out loud, oh good, I'll lay hands on my son during that. Of course, Caleb last week. Caleb came dressed as Blackbeard last week. He had the eye patch going on, you know. He got in a fight with the book, and the book won. And scratched up his eye real good, you know, and he couldn't even open that eye, and we prayed for him. And the next day, took the patch off, you could see everything, right? It was awesome. And so we're excited about that. And so we encourage you to share testimonies. We've had so many testimonies of God's power. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, things happened to people. Amen. Lives actually changed. And people went from impossible to the possible. People went from sick to health. They went from poor to prosperous. They went from depressed to joy. They went from tormented to free. He's the same Jesus. He's still changing people's lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And I'm excited. If you go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we're going to pray in a second. I'm excited about today's message. When he laid this on my spirit to preach this, you know, you have to understand how I do things as a minister. I don't have an internet website that I go to find a sermon. I don't do any mini, miny, mo, you know, and close my eyes or go through old sermon notes and scroll through and just pick one, you know. I actually pray and hear from heaven. That's why so many of you, when the service is over, I mean, last week, I don't know how many people came up to me and said, Pastor, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Well, I didn't know you needed to hear that. I'm not that good. But the Holy Ghost makes me look really good at times to say things that people need to hear. I'm not that smart, trust me, I promise you. I didn't know, but God did. And so when he laid this on my heart this morning, I was absolutely, well, it was actually not this morning to preach it this morning, but it was laid on my heart before this morning. I was so thrilled because, you know, I've said to you that the greatest thing ever happened to me was getting born again. And I've said that the second greatest thing that's ever happened to me was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and being able to have that power flowing in my life through the Holy Ghost and power. And I said that's the second greatest thing. But, you know, when I think about it, I don't know if that's entirely accurate. When I think about time frames, I think there might be a 2A and a 2B or they're right there at the top. And what I'm going to share with you today gives that a run for its money for the second greatest thing that's ever happened in my life, because when this started to take place in my life, everything changed. You're looking at someone that was so depressed that should be dead, but God spared me supernaturally from taking my own life. That's how depressed I was. So broke, couldn't pay bills, sick in body all the time. Had gambling addictions, had substance abuse addictions. I mean, things that gripped my life. They're real, you know. And the Lord changed it all, praise God, through the power of his word in cooperation with it, you know. And without what I'm going to share with you today, those things never happened. But for you to get to the highest maximum potential of what God has for you on this earth, which is awesome, by the way. You know that the Lord told Dr. Dufresne, who's now with Jesus, you know, Pastor Nancy's husband, that she comes in here, you know, and preaches. He said that 90-some percent of my children never get all that I have for them. That's a shame. God has a level of life that he wants you to live and experience in your mind, in your emotions, in your finances, in your health, in your relationships, in the favor that you experience. And all that is it's a possibility, and it's available to you. But without what we're going to share today, without maximizing what we're going to share today, you'll never experience it. And I know, because I became his child January 10, 2002. And nothing changed on that day, except for on the inside of me, I got born again. And I remember the first time that I went to go out to drink with my friends after I got born again, and something was different on the inside. Before, I could just throw them down one after the other. It didn't bother me. And I went out I was the bridesmaid. I was the maid of honor in a wedding, and I got to go hang out with about 10 girls one night. I mean, it was great, you know, back then. And before pre-marriage, you know, and anyways, and I remember drinking, and something was different. So there was a change on the inside of me. The Holy Ghost was in there. God was on the inside of me, and I had a check that I never had before, and the way I would talk and different things that I would do, but the addictions didn't go away. The wrong thinking didn't go away. The poverty didn't go away. The sickness didn't go away. Those things did not leave my life. And here I was, a child of God. I didn't start maximizing, and I'm not even anywhere near what God would have for me or wants for me, but I'm way further along than I was in 2002. And it wouldn't have been possible without what I'm going to share with you today. So I'm excited that we're here this morning, because we're going to be blessed. What does this say? It's saying verifying update. No, we don't want to update right now. Hallelujah. But anyways, notes or no notes, it don't matter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's go ahead, let's pray this morning. Father, we love you so much. Father, we glorify the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that he's given to us. Father, we thank you for all that he has done for us. Lord, we're hungry here this morning. We are ready to receive what you have for us. Father, we're not here this morning to play church and to go through the motions. Father, we're here to hear from heaven. We're here to get something from you, praise God. Now, Father, we come hungry, we come ready to receive. You said if we would show up hungry, Father, that we would be blessed, Father, that we would receive all that you have for us. So, Father, we expect to be spoken to this morning. We expect that you're going to say things pertinent and specific to our lives. Now, Father, I thank you that I don't know what everybody needs to hear, but you do. So I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. I thank you words from heaven are going to come out. Father, I thank you that we're going to say what needs to be said. We're going to do what needs to be done. And Father, this will be a service this morning where things change for us, where our tomorrows are different, where there's a better outlook, where there's something more to strive for. So we thank you for it. We give you the praise. It's not about the name on the church. It's not about the minister behind this pulpit. It's always about you and your word. So we exalt those things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Kim Lai, would you bring that up in the Amplified? Amplified is just an easier translation to understand. It amplifies it. It brings it out more. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom. Now notice this. And his righteousness. But look what it says in parentheses. His way. His way of doing and being right. And then all these things. You know what the Message Bible says about all these things? It says all the human concerns that you would have will be added to you. You pull that back up in the King James. We'll go back to that. But he says, seek first my kingdom and my way. My way. And then every human concern that you have will just be added to you. Well, you know, a lot of people, they do things out of order. They seek the money. They seek the relationships. They seek the acceptance. They seek the love. They seek things and natural human concerns. And they put God on the back burner, and God's kind of like bingo. If I have time to get to him, I will. You know, God's kind of like whatever you have that just is extra in your life. And that's a problem, because there's things that God wants to add to you, that God wants to deposit into you, into your family, into your life. And all areas of your life would change by receiving his impartations. And here's the thing. He said, seek me first. So he says, there's an order here. And what did it say about seeking him first? His way of doing and being right. What's it saying? Say, put his way number one in your life. Now, that scares a lot of people, but that's because you're focused on what you think it's going to cost you, when you should be focused on what it's going to bring you. Because he said, these things will be added to you, what? Every human concern that you could have. Praise God. And so, the answer to the stuff that you need, that you're chasing after and it's eluding you, is just seek him first. Do things his way and you won't have that problem anymore. But there's an order, praise God. There's a way. It's called his way. Amen? When Pastor Tim and I, this past September, were in Montana, we went to Yellowstone, and Yellowstone is kind of like, if you've ever been there, it's almost like a figure eight road, and then there's roads that jot out from each of the different figure eights that you can go and look at different things, and they give you a big map, you know, and you talk to the park rangers or whatever they're called there, you know, and the guy said, you know, everything is pretty much open. He said, but you want to avoid this way. He put it on the, showed us on the map. He said, they're doing road work here, and you already can't drive fast on those roads anyways. It's, you know, you go 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour at some part of those roads. That's really fast. You know, people are going slow, and you got bison on the side of the road, and elk, and mule deer, and antelope and things. Everyone's stopping for sightseeing and seeing all the animals and stuff. And he said, if you go this way, there's road construction, and it's real bad. He said, it's going to cause you an extensive delay, which is going to frustrate you and make things hard for you. That's what he said. He said, if you go all the other ways, it'll be easy and light. Just go right through it. He said, just avoid this way. He said, well, are we really going to miss a whole lot going that? No, you won't miss a whole lot. It's just a stretch of road. But because of it's the way they're doing the construction, it took forever. Well, the geniuses we are, I've never claimed to be the sharpest in the toolbox. I did never complain, never proclaimed to be that. You know that. We went that way. And let me tell you something, it was hard. And it was frustrating, and it wasted our time. And we were getting agitated and hungry and all those fun things, right? But my point was, he told us which way is light and easy. He told us which way is going to bring good things. He told us which way is going to bring the hard life. God's telling us in Matthew 6:33, you want the easy life, the blessed life, where things are added to you? Go my way. You want it to be hard and frustrating and things to be tough and to always be a grind and life just seem not very fun? Go your way. Yeah. He's got a way for you. Thank you, Lord, for the way. Praise God. So I want to show you a way. If you got that group text I sent yesterday that you couldn't respond to me to, it said that we're going to look at a way. If you want to walk in God's, to begin living in God's highest and best, you can't do it void of this way. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't violate what he says. Just the same token, if that ranger would have said, or park ranger would have said, hey, we want to see such and such. He says, okay. You want to see certain springs or certain falls there and some or a certain animal, you're going to have to go this way. Well, we can't then say, you know what? He said that certain falls that we've read about and seen in pictures is that way, but you know what? We're going to go this way and try to get it. It's silly. Yeah. Makes sense, right? It's dumb. You can't. You'll just be driving and never see it. Well, it's the same way. If God says there's certain things for prosperity and joy and victory and health and blessing and favor, if he outlines it in his word, that's the road you got to go on. That's the path you got to take. It's not going to come any other way. Well, I want to see the falls. I like this road better. Well, you ain't going to see them. Well, I want to see those hot springs. Well, they're on that road, but I want to go that road. Then you ain't going to see the springs. Amen. So let's look at a way. Now, here's what I want to say to you, no matter where you are with God, because what you're going to hear is not something you've never heard before. Now, maybe, I don't know everybody's background and how versed you are in church. It doesn't really matter. You can start wherever you're at and go on with God. But some people I know, because you've been with me for almost the whole 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, you've heard me preach this multiple times. But when the Holy Ghost emphasizes it in my spirit, it's not for my entertainment. It's not because it wasn't just for me to study on. He had me to look into things to bring it to people. Why? Because people need to go higher in this. So what I'm saying is, if you've never heard any of this before, oh boy, you're in for your lucky days today. Because I'm serious. Everything changes from this point. This is where everything changed from this point in my life. You know, once I got born again, everything changed at this point. And if you're someone that's well-versed, you've heard it over and over again, there's more for you. There's a higher revelation for you. Never think I've heard it all. You know, faith is the topic I study more than anything. I read on it, I read books on it, I study the Word on it. And yet, when I listen to Brother Hagin, he most all the time goes to the same verses, Mark 11, 23 and 24, talking about faith, and preaches on faith. And even though I recognize in my mind I've heard that before, I always get something different and go higher with it. I was preaching last night we're still at Olean for one more week. This week's the grand finale at the warehouse, thank God. And if you've been to that building, you know what I'm talking about. And I preached on something that I've preached on a lot, you know, talking about peace. God's been emphasizing peace in my own life and also to share with people. And I got a revelation while I was getting ready and thought, wow, Lord, you know, I never saw it that way, but my goodness, that's help. That's help. There's always more to pull out of the Word. So no matter where you are, let's try to go higher to maximize these things. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And even the sound of those words coming off my lips already let people know where we're going. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Now look what it says. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing. Now I got to stop there. Lord just arrested me as I was reading that. I think sometimes when I say things, I don't know because you hear me talk a lot and you see me a lot and we're together a lot, that maybe it doesn't have the impact that maybe it should at times. When I say to you, what I'm about to share with you, because what you're looking at now, and this is all because of him, is a blessed man. Is a prosperous man. I don't mean, you know, when I say prosperous, I'm talking biblical prosperity. All my needs met, enough left over to be a blessing. You're looking at someone whose children are serving God and love the Lord. Amen. And are good kids. You're looking at people that walk in health and favor. Well, that's not how it always used to be. This didn't just magically happen. My life used to look like hell on earth in every aspect of it. And I know that's hard to believe because that's not the way it is now. I'm talking darkness ruled in my life. Sickness and poverty and you know, just anguish and torment ruled my life. And they're not there anymore. And so when I say these things, maybe it's hard to relate, but I'm telling you those things are true, and now I'm different, and I'm telling you what I'm going to share with you today changed it all. Amen. Amen. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Notice they were sick and diseased. But when he saw the multitudes, the people he's ministering to, he was moved with compassion. Jesus had a Mr. T moment. Now, he probably didn't say it this way, but you know what Mr. T said? I pity you, fool. That's what Jesus, when the Bible says compassion, Jesus had pity on them. Can you see Jesus with the mohawk and the gold chains? I can't, but Mr. T, we can. But that's what he was saying. I pity you. I have pity on you. That's what Jesus was saying. I have compassion on them. Because they, the people, faint and are scattered abroad as or like being a sheep with no shepherd. Now, the best way to get the most out of this is to look at that in the Amplified, because again, the Bible in the New Testament was not written in English, it was written in Greek. And if you know anything about the Greek language, which it's not hard to find this out, it's far more complex than the English language, and the meanings of their words are deeper, and they just have more umph to them, I guess is what you'd say. And so the Amplified brings out that Greek. Look what it says in the Amplified. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity. See, you thought I made that Mr. T thing up. He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because, you ready for this now? Because they were bewildered. They were harassed. They were distressed. They were dejected. And they were helpless. Well, no wonder he pitied them. That's a person worth pitying. That's a person worth having compassion on. Harassed in life, dejected in life, a life of bewilderment, a life of distress, a life of helplessness. Like a sheep without a shepherd. Now, he uses a natural term to illustrate a spiritual truth. Think about a natural sheep. You know, ba-ba. Four legs, fluffy, that's what I mean. A natural sheep. When I say natural sheep, that's what I mean. What are they like without a shepherd? They don't have anyone to tend their wounds. They don't have anyone to keep them from danger. They don't have anyone to lead them to where they need to feed, to be blessed. Right? They don't have anyone protecting, watching over them, involved in their life, making sure. What does a sheep without a shepherd do? It's just going to wander around aimlessly, hoping to find where it needs to go. Vulnerable to predators. When it gets hurt, no one there to tend their wounds and to help them. There have been people in this church that have had some wounds that the shepherd has been able to impart some things that was mending, that if people didn't have a shepherd, would have been a lot harder going through some of the things they went through. And that's true for myself as well. I got a pastor. Amen. There are people that have been brought into things that they otherwise never experienced until they got a shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd knows how to guide and move people into some things. Amen. It's true. And it says, people that without a shepherd. Now I know what the thought is. Pastor, this isn't for me. I look at you as my pastor. I'm here faithfully. No, there's more for you to get out of this gift. There's more to maximize out of the gift that God has given you in your life in the form of a pastor. Like sheep without a shepherd. Well, that word shepherd in the Greek means pastor. He wasn't saying that the people needed a shepherd with the staff, you know, the curly thing at the top. What's that thing called? Shepherd's something? Shepherd's hook, shepherd's staff. He's not saying we need that. No, sheep need that. But he likens his children in the word to sheep. Remember when he told Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do. He said, "Go okay, then feed my sheep." Well, Jesus wasn't talking about the fence he had out in the back 40 with the sheep. He's talking about his people. Feed them. He calls his people sheep. And so if natural sheep need a shepherd, spiritual sheep that we are need a shepherd. And if you don't have a shepherd, now this is what I want to say to you. If you don't have a shepherd, this will be the result of people's lives. And you can't expect to live above this if he said, Almighty God said, without a shepherd, your life's going to be bewildered, harassed, distressed, helpless, and dejected, scattered and faint without a shepherd. You can't expect to go above and beyond that if you don't have a shepherd in your life. And see, a lot of people, they want to get beyond bewilderment. They want to get beyond harassment, dejectment, and helplessness, and all these things. They want to. They desire it. But you can't unless you do it his way. Remember, I want to see the falls that are over there. You got to go that way. Well, I want to go this way. Okay, then I want to get away from being dejected. I'm going on the road of dejectment, harassment, bewilderment, distressed and helpless, but I want to get over into peace and joy and victory. Okay, then you got to go this way, the way of having a shepherd. But I don't want to. I want to stay home. And I want to do it with just me and my Bible. There's a gentleman at the Jamestown Church. His name's Jeff Trussler. Used to hunt with Jeff Trussler. I saw Jeff Trussler fall out of a tree stand and break his arm, and I almost threw up. Because the way he landed on the arm and the look on his face, I said, this isn't good. And my dad sat there and made jokes about it. That's just the way my dad was. I mean, it was a mess. And Jeff got off into wrong things in his life and got hooked on major, major things and was substance abuse galore in his life and depressed and hurting. And one day I walked into the Jamestown Church for a guest minister meeting, and there he was. And I'll tell you what, if there's anybody I thought I'd never see in church, it was him. It just goes to show you, don't give up on people. And I said, Jeff, I hadn't seen him in years, said, what are you doing here? I'm always at these kind of things, you know. This is where I live in church. What are you doing here? He said, I got born again. And he said, would you like to go out to lunch sometime? I said, yeah. We went and walked the property. He fell out of the tree, you know. And I got him filled with the Holy Ghost that day. But he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I got to tell you what happened to me. He said, this is where my life is. And he wasn't completely out of the water by the time he was talking, but he was way better than he was. Now he's completely out of the water from all those things. And he said, I got to tell you about where my life was. He said, 2 years ago, I was so frustrated, listed all the things, addictions, the money problems, the problems he was having with his daughter. I mean, all with his daughter, all just hell on earth. A life of dejectment, a life of helplessness, a life of bewilderment, a life of harassment. And he said, I was walking down, he lived in a trailer park in the country. He said, I was walking down the road, you know, just so frustrated one night, and I saw a bunch of newspapers off on the side of the road. He said, I was just mad, you know, who would do that? You know, everything was making him mad. You know when you become bitter, Betty? And everything makes you mad? That's the way he was. We don't have any bitter Bettys in here, do we? Do we need to cast out the bitter Betty spirit this morning? We will get you. We'll come for you. And he saw that outside the road. He said about the third night he saw it, he got sick of seeing it when he was walking. He said, fine, no one else is going to pick this up. I'm going to pick it up. He went to pick up the crumpled up newspapers, and when he picked it up, he saw some writing on it, and he opened it up, and it was Bible verses. Well, the word, the Bible says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Doesn't matter if it's on a newspaper, doesn't matter if it's on a carpet, doesn't matter if it's on a ceiling. If it's the word, it's power. And it spoke to him. And so he said, for the next 2 years, I got in the Word and started studying the Bible and seeing things. And you know, there was a little, he said, there was a little bit of change, but not like the victory that God preached and promised me in the Bible. And he said, after 2 years, I came to the conclusion that I can't do this by myself and that the Word's pointing me to something else, a shepherd. Well, he got connected with a shepherd. And guess what started to leave? Dejectment, harassment, bewilderment, distress, helplessness. Now he's free of all those things. Found a wife, praise God, hallelujah. Has his own business, praise the Lord. Actually built the deck off my house. He did, praise God. God changed his whole life. Why? The recognition of Nina Shepherd. Well, I'm here to tell you. Pastor Mike's life, that's me. Same thing, born again. Still going through all the stages of what it was not to have a shepherd. Got a shepherd. Now, we'll show you why. What's the big deal of having a pastor? Well, we'll show you. And everything changed in my life, every area. Praise God. But without a shepherd, now here's the thing. It can't just be the fact that you say, I have a shepherd, that qualifies you to step out of a life of dejectment, all those things, to just say, yeah, Pastor Mike's my pastor. Well, am I? Well, so-and-so's my pastor. Well, are they? First of all, make sure that the pastor's a right kind of a pastor. What's the right kind of a pastor? Someone that leads a church isn't necessarily a pastor. Someone that's called by God to lead a church and follows the Holy Ghost and preaches the Word, that's a pastor. Amen. There's a lot of good ones around. Absolutely, there are. And there's a lot of people around that aren't doing what the Word says to do. That's why you got to find out where God has you to go. And it can't just be that you say, Pastor Mike, is my pastor, and I'm qualified then for God's way of maximum blessing. Let's find out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. It's more than just a recognition of that guy's my pastor. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. I'll say it this way, and I'll leave you up to your imagination to know, to think about who I'm talking about. And if I mean in here and only in, out in the world, I'll say it this way. There are people that look at me and say, Pastor Mike's my pastor, and I'm here to tell you, I don't recognize that relationship. They can think it all they want, but I'm not their shepherd. I'm not their shepherd. I'd love to be their shepherd, love to help them, but I'm not their shepherd. And we'll get into some of that things today, but there's people that are just, oh, Pastor Mike's my pastor. I got a pastor. Pastor Mike Anderson's my pastor. Hallelujah. Now don't start condemning yourself. You know whether or not I'm your shepherd or not. Right? Praise God. But let's find out if we can maximize this a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Yeah. There's people that are refusing to submit to this part of doctrine in the Word. And you'll see what it means to have a pastor today. And they're the people that want to get to good, and they're frustrated, and they complain about not getting to the good, but they're going the wrong way. Well, it never works. We go the right way. I never see those falls. Well, you're going the wrong road, idiot. I never see those hot springs. Well, I told you, you got to go this way. Well, hey, I got stuck in traffic and it took our whole day. I told you, you moron, don't go this way. Keep going that way. You got to change. You got to change. He said he ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. So the Bible says when Jesus left the earth and went up to heaven, when he went up, he left the earth with gifts. Verse 11 tells us what the gifts are. And he gave the gift giver that he is. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some he left pastors, anointings of pastors, and some teachers. Now, a gift from God, the Bible says, is good and perfect. It doesn't mean that the person in that office is going to be perfect, but the gift and the anointing of the gift is perfect. What God puts in the gift, not the man or the woman in that office, because we're human beings in human flesh, but the gift itself and the anointing of what the pastoral office has to give is a good and perfect gift. Because God only gives good and perfect gifts. And so he says, I've given gifts, which tells us that God's given these to us to bless us. That's the only reason you give your kids gifts, isn't it? Or do you give your kid a gift that he hates or she hates? No. You don't as a loving parent. But notice this. These are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. They are the other four full-time, five-fold ministry gifts that we talk about. And you need these in your life. And we'll see that in a second. You need these in life. But when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, he didn't say they were dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without an apostle. Like sheep without a teacher. Like sheep without an evangelist. Sheep without a prophet. No. Jesus said they're like scattered, like sheep without a shepherd, a pastor. These other gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, they're sent to the body of Christ. But guess what? The pastor is sent specifically to you and your family's life. Specifically. God gives you a shepherd to tend to your life, to mend your wounds, to lead you into greener pastures. How many of you can say, from the time you came here, you've been led into some greener pastures? Amen. I got saved. God, my pastor led me into greener pastures. Praise God. Helped me, blessed me. Why? Because the anointing on the pastor's life is to get you out of certain things in your life and to bring you into things that you cannot get into any other way. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. No, you're just up there exalting and magnifying yourself. No, I'm up here exalting and magnifying the office that I stand in. Apart from the office, I'm just plain old Mike Anderson, and I got a laundry list of things that make me very unqualified in life, right? And things in my past and stuff. The pastor is sent to you. Notice if it's the first thing he did, it shows the importance. Shows the importance of it. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 9? He said, I see the multitude. They're scattered and faint, like sheep without a shepherd. You know what the next thing he said was? Pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers in the harvest, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now, we always look at that as the unpicked harvest is great. But how many of you know? Even if you have a huge harvest that's picked, you still have to have laborers to do something with the picked harvest. What he's saying is that even when the harvest comes in, what do we do when people get born again? Then they become sheep. And they become little wandering sheep. And if they don't have a shepherd, what sheep do? They're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless. So he's saying, right after he gets done saying that there's a great harvest, and when that harvest comes in, we need to pray that there's laborers that would be enough to tend to the harvest. We don't just need laborers to pick the harvest. We need laborers to do something with the harvest once it's picked. And he said, I have compassion. We need this for people. Pray that shepherds would be sent to people, that people would be able to sit under a pastor and get into things in their life that they otherwise couldn't have. Praise God. Now look at verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now look at verse 12. For the. Now he's going to tell you why. Why he gave them to you. For the perfecting of the saints. That's why I said the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, teacher. They'll help you, but not like the pastor will. Why? The shepherd is sent to your life individually, your personal life. The prophet is not. The prophet doesn't have an inroad. He doesn't have even the mantle on his life. The pastor's for life stuff. Yeah. It is. That's the gift. Everyday life stuff to help you overcome in your family, overcome in your finances, overcome in your health, overcome in your mind. That's what the shepherd's there for. A daily, someone that's praying. I'm here to tell you, Pastor Nancy Dufresne is not praying for you every day. You don't have her number to call her when you need help. Reverend Greer is not on his face lifting you up by name. Kevin Durant and Aunt Annie Durant are not available when it hits the fan and hell on earth shows up in your life and you need advice and you need help. They're not available, but guess who is? Me. That's true. That's what a shepherd does. So, perfecting of the saints, yes, you need the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, and the prophet. You need those ministries in your life because they can bring something that the pastor can't. For being completely transparent, they have gifts and mantles for different things in your life and different things, but for everyday, day-to-day life to walking into God's highest and best can't be done without a shepherd. Amen. Can't be done without a shepherd. It can't. Perfecting. Now let's look at that word perfecting. You know what that word perfecting means in the Greek? Complete furnishing. The pastor is sent to make sure your life, these gifts, ministry gifts, pastor being one of them, the main one for your individual life, to help make sure that your life is completely furnished. Well, when we go on vacation, we stay in a little townhouse that's like four units, and I've never yet got on the plane with my couch, my refrigerator, my washer and my dryer, my bed. Why? We go stay someplace when we go out of town that's completely furnished. Why? If we go on vacation and walk into an unfurnished place, it's going to quickly become better to have just stayed at home. But we walk in and there's a fridge already there. There's a washer and dryer already there. There's a bed already there. There's sheets and towels and couch and television and chairs and a table. It's already completely furnished. Why? If I walk into an unfurnished place, I'm going to struggle. It's going to be more difficult, right? Well, that's the way it is if you don't avail yourself to these gifts. We're talking about the shepherd today. Well, you know what else that word means, perfecting? The equipping of the saints, to equip them. How many of you know the best example I could think was when the Lord gave me the hockey analogy? What does the Bible say about the devil? It says that he's firing arrows at you. Darts. The fiery darts of the wicked. Well, what happens when you play hockey? What's getting fired at the goalie? Pucks. Now imagine a goalie in the NHL. They shoot 100 miles an hour and more, some of those guys. A lot of them can shoot in the 80 to 90 mile an hour, a puck coming at you. You ever felt one of those things? Imagine taking off his mask and taking off his chest protection, his leg protection, and getting rid of it. And he's just going out there like this, standing there, unequipped. What's going to happen to him? Pain, hurt, sorrow. Well, what happens to Christians? You think a puck can do damage. Do you know that the devil, that your adversary, your enemy, the Bible says he is solid gold, good at killing, stealing, and destroying you? That's what he does. And he does it by firing arrows, fiery darts at you. What if you walk out without your equipment? Christians do it all the time. How? They don't avail themselves of these gifts. They don't have a shepherd. They never sit under the apostle. They've never sat under the evangelist or the teacher. They don't sit under the prophet's ministry. And then they wonder, why is it hard? Why is things not working? Why is the money always the problem? Well, we'll get to some of that. Not equipped. Just like you'd say, that's dumb for a goalie to stand in the net and be unequipped. I'll say it's dumb for a Christian to even think of going through life where the devil's the god of this world and throwing darts at you, and he's your adversary like a roaring lion. It's dumb to go out in life without equipment. And you can't get the equipment apart from how he says you got to get it. Well, I'm just going to stay home and read my Bible. I know Jesus. You might know Jesus, but you don't know well enough because he said he left you a gift. Why aren't you availing yourself to it? Well, I'll just be in my Bible and my TV show. You got Creflo Dollar's phone number, Jesse DePlantis' phone number, Joel Steen's phone number. You got them? Are they able to pray for you? Are they able to hear in the middle of the night? Are they waking up in the middle of the night when there's problems and the Lord's putting something on their heart? And pray to so you can avert trouble. Are they? No, but guess who is? Me again. Yeah. Your shepherd. Amen. Yeah. The gift of the shepherd is so valuable. Yeah. I've been able to minister to people with this gift that have gone through hell on earth, that are in situations that otherwise would have been absolutely horrific and horrible and gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, and unrecoverable from, but the gift of the shepherd was submitted to and able to minister in their life, and it turned things. It's amazing how it works. And so many people are going out unequipped with that, without that. So here we go. We'll close with this, with two things. Are you ready? If you're going to maximize this gift, two things have to be in play for the shepherd. Are you ready? Now, don't get angry with me. I'm just a preacher of the Bible. If you want to get mad at Jesus, you go ahead. You leave here and you can get out. Don't give me the dirty looks. Don't give me the short. Don't be short with me. You go home and you be mad at him. It's worthless and it will be pointless, but you can do it. But don't be mad at me. I just say what he says. Amen. Number one, if you want to maximize the gift of the shepherd, to begin to walk into full equipment, and this would even go forth for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, you got to show up. Did I just say that? Remember Urkel? Did I do that? That's what I was thinking. Did I say that? You got to show up. You got to show up. Say, why do you have to show up? Well, because of what's happening when the shepherd's gift is in operation. Something's happening. What's happening in this place is the shepherd is walking in the gift and walking out what the Lord has put in the word and what the shepherds to do, which is feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. How do I feed the sheep? Not with Donut Sunday. I feed the sheep by the word of God. Look at what happens in this place. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. What are we eating today, Nettie? Tacos. Oh, I should know that. I got my own personal stash. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Well, that'd be a good answer to find out. Who the heck are these guys? Well, he tells us, ministers. Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now look what Paul said. He said, I have planted. Apollos watered. Now, when he's talking about minister planting and watering, he's not talking about a garden, a natural garden. He's talking about a spiritual garden. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but notice this, God gave increase. And that's true. Amen. It's because of him, right? That's right? But notice, the increase can't come without the planting and the watering. There was increase, but first for these people to increase, they had to be planted and watered. Planted and watered. Well, what's planting? Planting is when I say something you've never heard before, seed gets planted. What's watering? When I preach on that over and over and over again, I'm watering that seed in the inside of you. That's what it is. And that leads to increase. Well, I'm sick of lack. How about you show up more? I'm sick of lacking my marriage. I'm sick of lacking my finances. I'm sick of lacking my kids. I'm sick of lacking stress and time. Why don't you show up more? Because, here's why. Drop down to let's go to verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You know what that means? God's garden. God's cultivated field. Well, remember over there in Mark chapter 4, it says the sower sows the word into the fields. What is the field? You're the field. You represent the dirt. You're the ground. You're the garden, God's field, God's, well, what's being sown into you? The word, the seed of the word, the seed of the word. It's like a farmer going out to his field at harvest time, didn't do anything in sowing time, and goes out to his cornfield and all the other neighbors, he's looking around picking corn, and all he's got is green grass field. Where's my corn? Where's my corn? His wife yelled out to him, dummy! You didn't put any seed in the ground. People want increase and live out this equipped, furnished life, but their garden not getting sown into. Got to show up. You got to show up. There's potential for increase, but you got to show up. Go to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Got to show up. Now again, for those of you that are sitting there saying, Pastor, I got this down. I show up. I'm faithful. I come on Wednesdays. I come on Sundays. You just hold your horses. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. I got something for you. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Well, what's happening on Wednesdays and Sundays and when we have guest ministry meetings? The word's being sown. The word's being sown into the garden. And things are able to grow. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. What's he saying? Have good attendance to the word, and you incline. You turn yourself towards a way of hearing the word. Why? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How in the world can somebody with the addictions that I had, the depression that I had, the sickness in my body that I had, stand up here and tell you that when I got a shepherd, all these things started melting off me? Suddenly I had the power to say no. Suddenly the joy creeped into my life. Well, why is that? Because the word, this is all you have to understand, the word is supernatural. When you're getting, see, what happens when a seed falls into the ground? Something changes. I can't explain to you how it works, but by putting a seed on the ground, it can cause this big corn stalk to come out. What wasn't there is now there. It completely changed. It was like a miracle. Well, how can that happen with me? How can that happen with people that were, how can Paul, how can these people in the Bible radically change? They had the word sown on them. And the word is a supernatural seed. Well, how's that going to help my marriage? Sit under the word, your marriage will get help. Well, how's that going to help my kids? Put them under the word, watch them change. Well, just watch. Why? Because it's supernatural. Just the same way the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word. How does that happen? I don't know, but you hear the word long enough, all of a sudden, bam, faith's going to be in there. It's a spiritual law. You sow the word, increase will come. You sit under the sown word, and increase will come for the better. And the people that do it, and no, it's true. I don't even know how that happened. This started changing, this started changing. This got worked out, this got worked out. Well, you got to show up. He said their life to you and health to your flesh. What's that mean? Change for your flesh, change for your life. The word can do that. It's that supernatural. But you got to show up. I think of all the times that I received my help in life, that I was going away and got detoured back on the right way by being in one service and hearing my shepherd say one thing. Amen. Or going through a problem where I'm just stuck and stuck, or there's a situation that arose that week, and all of a sudden I come into service and my pastor's preaching on what I'm going through. Are you kidding me? Thank you, Jesus. What if I'd have been home? I can't afford to not let my kids enforce and make my kids, which they love being here because we pump up church. God's ways are bigger to us than recreation. He knows. It don't matter he got a baseball game. It don't matter. That baseball game is not going to heal his body. It's not going to save him. When he plays baseball, he has fun and does other things, but he knows God is first, and we're okay with that. Amen. Amen. We're okay with that, praise God. Why? I can't afford for them not to be under the constant watering of the Word of God. I mean, we had our kids sitting in service at 2-3 years old. Well, what can they comprehend? Their mind might not be able to comprehend much, but their little spirits can. It's true. And this continues so. That's why people have been here. They've literally said this to me. This is not me making it up or trying to be sensational. Pastor Mike, I've never heard anybody preach the word like you before, but I can't stay because you don't have anything for my 12-year-old. Yeah, I do have something for your 12-year-old. It's called a 50-hour message that'll change his life. That's what I got. Some other place might have fun little skip rope games and do all these fun things that aren't going to change your life but are going to appease your flesh. But we're going to get our kids in church, hearing the word from a young age, so when they're older, the Bible says they won't depart. Amen. It's the truth. Why do you do things the way you do, Pastor Mike? Because that's what the Holy Ghost says to do. Amen. And I think all the times I would have missed out, and all the times that the things that changed in my life by just hearing it, by being under the continual watering of the word. I ran into a lady in Olean last week. She goes to the church out there that's going to become Allegheny, but came from a very tough place. And things have changed. And I said to her, she had missed, you know, she had obligation. She couldn't be there that week, you know, but she's mostly there all the time hearing the word. I said, oh, I missed you. I said, oh, I know. And she told me, you know, and I said, oh, I'm not trying to check up. I just want to let you know I missed you. And I said, tell me, is life good? And she said, yeah. I said, how have things changed since you've gotten a shepherd and been under the word of God? And she said, Pastor Mike, she said, I don't even know how we get to do what we get to do in my life with my daughter and my family now. Like, she said, every area has changed. Now, here's the thing. There wasn't some great big miracle that happened to her. It wasn't some great big prophecy or some big huge explosion. It was a constant sitting faithfully under the word, under the word, under the word, and all of a sudden, wow, I can't even recognize my life. It's true. Number two, we got to get going here. Don't want our tacos to get cold. Now, this isn't condemnation to people to make you feel bad. Listen, you know you come once every 8 weeks. You're going to see me. I'm going to give you the biggest hug as if you came every week. It doesn't affect my life. It affects your life. But I am trying to bring you up higher. That there's better. There's better in this world. Hallelujah. There's people I deal with all the time. It's the same thing. I have to tell them the same thing. Like, we can't get you there until you get faithful. Until you come to church and get a shepherd. And then they do it for a little bit, and then their life's bad, and then they'll call me 6 months later. These are real stories. I say, you got to get a shepherd. I can't pray for you to have, I can't pray for that dejection, that harassment, that bewilderment, that distressment, that helplessness to go away until you do what God says. Amen. Amen. Number one, you got to show up. Number two, are you ready? Now, this is for all of us, but you know those people that are saying, I already got this down under my, I'm doing good today. You got to show up the right way to maximize your gift. If you show up the wrong way, it won't matter that you showed up. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm going to show you a story where they showed up for Jesus, but they showed up the wrong way. It didn't matter if they showed up. Showed up the wrong way. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Man, I'm always pushing 11:30. And I know why. Miranda's in the nursery today. Every time, that's Mary Jo's daughter, every time that girl's in nursery, I go long. So, you know, you just need to find out the nursery schedule. And when she's in there, just make sure you came with an extra snack in your belly or something, because I got to get through this today. Mark chapter 6, you got to show up the right way. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, and he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things, and what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Well, what? He just came from Mark chapter 4 where he cast the devil out of someone, and then in Mark chapter 5 where he healed the woman with the issue of blood and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. So he just came from doing mighty things, and they're saying, who is he? See, where Christians miss it is they look for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. There was nothing spectacular about the man Jesus. He was just a normal-looking Jewish man. But there was something very supernatural about him. We know there wasn't anything spectacular. They said, he's just a carpenter. We know him. It's Jesus, just average Joe, right? That's what they're saying. They're looking for the spectacular and missing the supernatural. And they were offended at him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, so they had a lack of honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, his own house, and he could there do no mighty work, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went around about the villages teaching. So they missed out. They showed up, but they didn't get what the other people got. He could there, in that location with those people, could there do no mighty work. Well, look what verse 4 tells us. A prophet is not without honor. Lack of honor led to lack of expectation. They had a lack of honor for what Jesus was, and because they had a lack of honor for what he was, he's just normal. He's just the average Joe. We see him every day. He's the carpenter over there working on those tables and chairs. We know his brothers and sisters. We saw him grow up. We saw him playing down at the park with our kids. Why is he anything special? He was special. He had an anointing and a gift on his life, but they didn't recognize that, and so what happened with lack of honor? It led to lack of expectation, and they got there and didn't expect him to do very much, and guess what he did? Not very much. They had no expectation. Imagine if you actually showed up here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And believed that my pastor is going to have a word from Almighty God for my life. That's what happens here. Amen. People hear from God in this place. I'm not God, but he speaks, through the message. Imagine. Oh, I bet our Wednesday night group would grow if you actually believed your pastor was anointed to hear from God and speak to you. Because I'll tell you what. There are a lot of messages and a lot of mail that gets handed out on a Wednesday night that nobody ever goes to their spiritual mailbox and opens up. And I'll preach on healing, and I'll preach on peace, and I'll preach on faith, and it falls on empty seats. Imagine if you thought your pastor was just as anointed as a Durant's and you'd actually come out to one of his midweek services. Ooh, imagine that! Oh, I'll shut things down. I'll make the priorities. I'll change things for them, ministers. Lack of honor. Somebody's got to say it. Well, okay, so here, I'll say it this way. If God told me to have a midweek service, which he did, that's why we have it. That means God's going to say things. And if you think, well, I'll just miss, he'll get it to me another time. No, you're going against what he said to how to do it. The shepherd's here to sow the word. I am sowing the word. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Right. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to put some yoke of burden around someone's neck. But what I am saying is our priorities are whack in the body of Christ. They are. They're off. We give so much honor and credence to other things and time and energy to other things and God's ways and God's kingdom. And then my life's hard. It's frustrating. It doesn't work out. It's no favor. It's my relationship, my marriage, my finances, my health. You're not doing it his way. I want to see the falls, but I want to go this way. I want to see the hot springs, but I want to go this way. No expectation. It's just Pastor Mike. It's just Pastor Mike. We see him every day. We're here all the time. It's just Pastor Mike. Well, if you show up just like that, it's just Pastor Mike, then you're going to get what Mike Anderson has to give, which is not very much. Just being truthful. But if you show up with an expectation, God called me to that man. Amen. That's my shepherd. I know that's my shepherd. I know in my heart that's my shepherd. Well, he's got supernatural things on his life. I need to be there when my shepherd's dishing it out. Amen. Amen. It's true. Amen. Imagine how your expectation would be if you'd showed up here and actually believed Pastor Mike was a mouthpiece of God to your life. Yeah. I'm closing this down here in a second. How do I say that? There are even people sit under me that over a consistent time frame that do not maximize the gift that God has put in their life. And they go without. Yeah. It's true. It's the absolute truth. They were in the presence of Jesus, anointed man, and didn't get everything they could have got out of him. It's the truth. And there are some people that sit under me and they push it to the extreme of trying to soak every bit of drop of gift that the shepherd has. And it all comes down to honor and expectation. It all comes down to honor. They didn't honor what Jesus had on his life, and they didn't receive from him. Now, if you get the thought, then if you take this thought and run with this thought, you've taken a thought from the devil. I am not magnifying the man, Mike Anderson. I am magnifying the gift of the pastor and the office of the pastor that's sent to the body of Christ to help you to get out of things that you're going through and to get you into things that you need to go into. I know, I'm a recipient of it. I'm so thankful for my pastor. So thankful for my pastor. And you know the two relationships on earth that the devil's going to fight the most? The husband and the wife, and the pastor and the sheep. He's going to try to divide homes. He's going to try to divide you from your spiritual help. Yeah. That's why when people, the thoughts I used to get against my pastor, I don't take them anymore because I know where they're from. They're from the devil. You're going to get thoughts about me. One lady had real bad thoughts about me. Remember that story? She said, Pastor, such and such happened. And she said, I have to repent to you. I said, what? She said, the thoughts that I've been having against you. I was like, well, join the club. The devil's going to give you thoughts all the time. But you know what the mature Christian does? Doesn't listen to the devil. You know what an immature Christian does? Listens to the devil. Said, I've been having some nasty thoughts about you. She said, I got to repent. I said, well, and I was just being sarcastic. You know how I am sometimes. I said, oh, yeah, you're probably having thoughts about wanting to murder me. And she said, I am. I said, Lord Jesus, where's my usher? Get her away from me. But you got to be careful. Now, if dejectment, harassment, bewilderment, distressment comes from lack of a shepherd, what do you think the devil's going to try to get you divided from? Yeah. Your shepherd. What if you just dared to go all in with God and to be faithful at your appointments and actually believe that what you're sacrificing, God would actually do more by going his way? Wow, that's a thought, isn't it? His way is the best. It's the best. Well, I want it, but I only want to go halfway. Okay, then you'll get the halfway blessing. It's the truth. Well, we'll see if we have anybody come back next week. I believe we will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, this is just help for us. This is just help for us. All we're trying to do is to grow into what you have for us. Father, I'm obligated to teach the Bible. I'm obligated to say what you said, and it's sometimes not easy when you talk about something that does imply me at times with the gift and the office that I stand in. But Father, who else is going to tell them week to week? Who else is going to stand up here and tell them the truth? I don't mind stepping on people's toes because sometimes we need it. I don't mind handing out spiritual spanks because sometimes we need it. It gets us in line. Sounding the alarm and sounding the warning and shouting from the rooftops the way, because the way is the best way. And Lord, I thank you for the shepherd. I thank you for the office of the pastor and what it can bring to our lives. I thank you there's a supernatural anointing on it. And Father, I'm not saying this to be demeaning or funny. I mean it. I'm not saying this to be sarcastic or humorous. Lord, there is not much spectacular about the man, Mike Anderson. Just normal-looking, average in intelligence and nothing, no special skills, Father. And And that's what they did to Jesus. They said, who is this guy? He's just a carpenter. Father, I pray that people would see beyond the natural and look to the supernatural and the gift that is put on the shepherd's life so that they would receive from that and they would honor that. I don't mean a cult following. I don't mean drinking the Kool-Aid and being weird. I don't mean that. I mean honoring and reverencing the gift through the word that the pastor has. I pray for each and every person that their eyes would be open, that they would understand and realize it. And Father, they would get everything out of that gift. And Father, they'd walk into the victory that you have for them, the blessings that you have for them. And where people need to make adjustments, Father, you're not mad at them. I'm not mad at people. Lord, repentance is so easy. We just say we're sorry. We endeavor to go a different way. We make some tweaks in our life, change our priorities a little bit, and start doing things God's way. It's that simple, Father. You're always encouraging us to go God's way. So we thank you for it. I thank you this message will permeate people's hearts. And changes will be made where changes need to be made. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I know you already are in an attitude of prayer, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. Everybody that can hear my voice, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about it. You say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Because I followed the instructions of God's word. And he's told us how to get to heaven. He didn't leave it in the dark didn't play hide and seek with salvation. He clearly showed us how to get there. And I want to tell you how to get there. If you could say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'd like to think I would. I hope I'd go to heaven. I'm going to tell you how to be sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10 says, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. So Jesus is how you get into heaven. How? By believing in him and receiving him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know everybody's background. I don't know where you've come from. Maybe you thought you'd go to heaven because you've been a moral person, because you've been a good person. Your good works don't get you into heaven. Jesus does. Maybe you're here and you think to yourself, Pastor, I've gone to church my whole life. Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. Say, well, I've been charitable. I've lived a good life. That's not how you get in. You get in by Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure. Well, if you believe in Jesus, you believe he was real. You might not understand everything, but you believe he was real, and you accept him into your heart, oh, praise God, you'll go to heaven. He said it'll be sealed with his word. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't embarrass you. Won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know for sure that when you walk out of this place, that when your day comes, and your final day comes, you're going to be with him, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Is there anybody? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else in here? See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. I remember my day I called on the Lord. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning? Father, we had one hand, and there might be somebody else listening by live stream or in the future. Now, for that person that raised your hand, I promised you and I assure you I will not embarrass you. But there is one last thing that needs to be done to get this transaction complete, is you must call on his name, ask him into your heart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead everybody in this church in a prayer. And if you raised your hand, you repeat this prayer after me. All it is going to be a declaration that you believe in him and an invitation inviting him into your heart. You don't have to come up with the words. I'll lead you in a prayer, and everybody else is going to repeat it along with you. But I just ask that you mean it with all your heart. If you raised your hand, or if you're listening online and you want to get involved in this, or if you're listening on the future, or if there's anybody else by chance in here that didn't raise their hand and wants to pray this, let's go ahead and lift our voice. Everybody say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you. Now, before I dismiss you on those tacos, let me just say, there's three steps to the best life you've ever had. Number one, get born again. Number two, plant in a Bible-teaching church with a pastor that preaches the word. Doesn't have to be here, but find one that does. And then when you're in that church planted, the word that you hear, do it and watch life change. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We praise your holy name. We thank you for what we've received. We call the food blessed to our body in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.